Hey, happy Friar Friday to everybody, and welcome into Gwynn and Chris. It is Chris Ello. It is Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park, where he and Jesse Agler will have tonight's call of the Padres and the Toronto Blue Jays. We welcome the Blue Jays south of the border for a three-game homestand. That's all it is for the Padres. Second three-game homestand this season. Padres go right back out on the road Monday to face the Colorado Rockies, so enjoy your Padre baseball while you can. We will have the game for you tonight following our program. Our program will be a dandy today. It will include a visit with, I think, a lot of people's favorite Padre out there. Jerickson Profar is going to join the show, and he's going to do it in about 15 minutes. So do not go anywhere. Looking forward to having Jerickson on the show today and talking about his hot start to the season and the goings-on with the San Diego Padres. Tony Gwynn Jr., getting back home yesterday, day off. You refreshed, sir?
Sorry, I didn't have my mic on. Yes, I am refreshed and feeling much, much better today.
Good, good. What, yeah. You know what? You said you were a little cranky yesterday. I did not really,
did a pretty good job hiding it.
Yeah, I didn't detect any of that on the program. Can you share with us what you were
Friday, or I should say, when we left L.A. on Sunday,
right,
and got in at 5, I just think it caught up to me yesterday morning getting up to do the round table. And so I was a little chippy, if you will.
Chippy.
in the wrong direction, right?
Well, I didn't pick up on any of that.
I just felt like that. I didn't feel my normal kind of
jovial.
I wasn't feeling like that yesterday. So I was just throwing it out there just in case I kind of came off like I was in a poopy mood, but I'm glad that it didn't come off that way.
Yes, well, you're tough to deal with when you're in a poopy mood. So, thankfully, we didn't have to deal with that. I have some really good news for me and for you, Tony.
Okay,
and I think a little bit for Scraby, and not so good a news for the rest of you people out there. Mike Shildt was on this morning with our morning show, Ben and Woods, as he is every Friday morning as they kick off the Friar Friday. And they, of course, eventually asked Mike Shildt, what are you going to do with this stinker of a player, Xander Bogaerts? And Mike Shildt's answer was basically our answer, Tony. And that was, I'm going to go ahead and use 10 years of data ahead of what I've seen for the first 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
And, thank you, Mike Shildt, for being a voice of reason for your own team. Now, he did go on to say, I think he was maybe, pushed a little bit by the hosts of the show. But he said, sure, I'm thinking about moving him down in the lineup. I think, if you're a manager of any team, you're going to be thinking those things all the time.
Right.
But as far as the lineup is concerned, I don't believe he's headed anywhere yet.
Do you want to hear the audio? Because I have it.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, let's hear what Mike Shildt had to say about Xander Bogaerts today.
There's a consideration for sure. Continue to look at it. As far as take the pressure off of him.
Still pressure, yeah. It could be bases loaded, right?
There's always some pressure to the game, but, it's also relative how people have handled it and their experiences. You are talking about a guy that's been through and won two World Series. So,
yep.
And he's had a 10-plus year proven career that, we're comfortable and confident he's going to be the player that he's been. Even more recently, the guy started the season pretty well for us. He's also been a part of the lineup that's done some pretty good things.
There you go.
Thank you, Mike Shildt.
That's – first of all, it's part of Mike's job to always be considering those type of things.
Right, yes, of course it's going to be considered, but I don't know. Do we need to play that again like every 5 minutes for the rest of the listening audience out there so they can just stay off Xander Bogaerts' case?
I've been thinking about this a lot.
You have.
I have.
And what have you? What have you come up with?
I did a whole thing last night on Xander Bogaerts and why nobody should worry. And I went through last season. He was in top five of all of the offensive stats last year in a bad year for the team. This year, you know, he's struggling. But we also went over the Tony Gwynn stat where he was hitting 197 in 1988. Ended up going to win the batting title. Basically, just all need to chill.
Let's just put all of that aside. This, at the end of the day, it's 21 games. That's enough, honestly. Like there's not enough big enough sample size. It doesn't mean that he's going to get a pass all season long to play poorly or not swing the bat well and stay in that spot. But, you know, quite frankly, there are a lot of other pieces that are doing pretty good in the spots that they're in. And, you know, when you move one, you got to move somebody who, and then how does that affect everything else? And so I think Mike is on it, right? Like they're going to take their time with this. When the time comes that they need to make a change, I'm sure they will. But right now there hasn't been any, the crazy part is despite his struggle, there hasn't been any, you know, signs of it through like hurting the offense. You know what I'm saying? Last year when we've tried eight different leadoff hitters, I don't know if eight, I might be exaggerating a little bit, but we had a bunch of different leadoff hitters. When everybody else was struggling, okay, it made sense. Like, okay, we got to try to kickstart this offense somehow. The offense has been, you know, pretty good for the most part.
I would say so. Coming into today, Tony, the first place team in the Major League Baseball in runs scored would be your San Diego Padres with 109 runs. The Cubs tied that with an 8-run performance today in their victory over the Marlins. But, yeah, 109 runs. No team in baseball has scored more than the Padres. I know they played a couple more games. But the bottom line is the offense isn't broke. I don't see any reason to fix it. Speaking of 21, happy birthday out there to 21-year-old Jackson Merrill, who has, my goodness, performed above his age, certainly, Tony. Comes into today 10th in the National League in batting at .333. And, you know, first of all, he's answered all of the questions to this point. But the funny thing about starting your way in Major League Baseball, like he's doing, is that the questions are going to get more complex and difficult, right, as he goes along. They're going to have a book on Jackson Merrill, if they don't have it already, that is going to show, you know, what pitches and what area of the strike zone are giving him the most trouble. And they're going to start throwing pitches there. They're already bringing in left-handers to face him in key situations to see how he handles that. But I have a feeling this kid's going to be up for the challenge, and I have a feeling he's aware that all of this stuff's going to be happening. He doesn't seem to be blind to any of it.
Of course he is. I mean, that's the thing that gives Jackson an advantage. He's extremely smart. And because he's a baseball guy, he knows all this stuff is coming. Plus, he's got some pretty good vets in there that I'm sure are in his ear. Not necessarily about the league is going to, you know, the league is going to make. No, just trying to keep him in a space where he's ready to make the adjustment. They got a good group down there, staff down there that will help with that. But aside from that, like, that's one of his superpowers is he's a baseball guy. He thinks the game. And so, of course, he knows that. And you can, I mean, when you watch his at-bats, you can see it happening in real attention to, you know, his mannerisms and what he's doing. He does a really good job of kind of just compartmentalizing in real time and taking in the information and in processing it. That's one of the things he does well. So, you know, hopefully he's able to make the adjustment when that time comes. Until it hasn't come yet, at least to this point.
He hasn't had to make it yet, but it'll be coming soon. Matt Waldron will be on the mound tonight for the Padres. Still nothing official as far as I know about tomorrow. What do we know about this?
I looked on CBS Sports, and their app is saying Randy Vasquez is starting.
Their app already says Randy Vasquez.
Yeah, I would.
Tony, any
news?
Any
on
news
that?
On that?
I haven't heard that yet.
Yeah,
I'll find out when we hear from Schilt. I'm sure he'll be asked. Hopefully he's asked.
Right.
about that tomorrow. So
we had kind of discussed all of that on the roundtable tomorrow, and I think Randy or yesterday.
I don't know how CBS Sports would know before MLB, so I'm not going to go with it.
Well,
I'll tell you what. I'm gonna look at my little preview and see what they have on there.
Yeah, Randy Vasquez's name's come up. I think it would be a good choice, honestly. You know, you got him in the Soto trade.
Yeah, it's TBD on ours.
It's still TBD, but he's from what I understand, it would be about his day to pitch tomorrow. Just in his rotation where he's at now. So it makes sense that they would go with him in the Darvish spot tomorrow. But Joe Musgrove, we know, will pitch on Sunday. So that's what the homestand looks like. Matt Waldron so far, I think so good, Tony.
Yeah.
I've got no complaints for my number five starter to this point.
He pitched well against the Dodgers. You know, I mean, he didn't end up getting the victory in that one. But he pitched well. That knuckleball, the way he used it, and for him, especially against that Dodger team, I hope that he gained a ton of confidence, because that's a tough lineup given his repertoire to deal with, because that lineup is extremely smart. They don't chase.
No.
And so it was incumbent. I said it before the game. It was incumbent upon him to get ahead and be able to throw his fastball for a strike, because if he fell behind and he can't guarantee he can throw the knuckleball for a strike, they get to start eliminating, basically, pitches. And what he did so well in that game was, for the most part, he was ahead. He was ahead in the count. He threw his fastball for strikes. And then that let him kind of be able to, you know, open the door to use the knuckleball when he wanted and the slider. And so he was very effective, man. He threw the ball very well. He should have gained a ton of confidence facing that Dodger lineup and holding them down the way he did.
We'll see how it translates tonight. It is his fourth start of the year. He's looking for his first victory despite more than solid 3.14 ERA so far this season. All right, we are underway. We got to make way because Jerickson Profar is going to be joining the program in the next segment. So want to leave some time for that. That is coming up next on our Friar Friday interview. Still ahead, we have a time travel countdown that I think you'll enjoy coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. Chris versus the fans, Big Five. It's all ahead. Gwynn and Chris setting sail here on a Friar Friday, heading into the weekend on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, Friar Friday in effect, and joining us here on Gwynn and Chris is, I would say, Padre fans' favorite, Jerickson Profar, on the program here today. Jerickson, what's going on, man? How are you? How'd you enjoy your off day?
Very good, very good. Thank you.
I saw you picked up some baseball out in Tijuana a little bit. Well, tell us a little bit about that experience.
Yes, it was good. A couple of my friends from Curacao were playing against Tijuana, so I went and see them. Scope and Didi.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a great way to spend the off day. Get down there and check out some of your good buddies. You're off to a terrific start this season. Obviously, you are well liked here in the city. And you said something last homestand that I think kind of caught everybody, kind of put everybody's antennas up. You said that you just feel comfortable here. It reminds you a lot of being, you know, home in Curacao. Tell us a little bit about that. How does San Diego kind of compare to being at home, and why does that make you feel so comfortable?
I don't know, just the weather, you know, the weather, the beach, the water, you know, it's kind of Curacao, you know, the people, you know.
Jerickson, Tony brought you on and said you're one of the fan favorites here, and I agree with that 100%. What does that mean to you when you hear that you're well-liked by the fan base? I mean, I don't know that that's anything you go out of your way to try to do, but I just think that's you as a person, and it's a very likable character that you bring.
Yes, you know, just I don't know, man. Just being me. Just, you know, play the game that I love, you know, and the same thing that I've been doing since I stepped on the field at 6 years old. You know, just enjoying the game and just be me, you know.
Yeah. Jerickson Profar joins us here on Friar Friday. Jerickson, I have to commend you for how you handled the whole Will Smith situation last week. You handled it with a bunch of class. I mean, but I know how it is when you have somebody kind of in your ear like that. When that ball left your bat and you knew that it had a chance to perhaps go over the fence, what was going through your mind as you stood on second base? Was there any part of you that wanted to kind of, you know, give it back a little bit?
Just a little bit. A little bit. But, you know, at the same time, we have a bigger goal than just, you know, that three-run double, you know?
Right.
So you need to keep your cool. You know, it's a long season, and we have bigger goals. It's not done yet.
No, it's a good start, though, Jerickson. I'm curious how you and the kind of things you're talking to yourself about and trying to do on a daily basis to make sure that your hot start, you know, keeps on rolling here throughout this season. You know, how is the world of Jerickson Profar when things are going well like this right now? Do you not want to tinker, or do you work a little harder? What are you doing to try to make sure that you keep it rolling?
No, just, you know, try to keep everything consistent, you know, working in the cages and make sure I'm doing the same things over and over again. You know, this season I just talk to myself, and, you know, I'm a very competitive guy, you know, so sometimes in the years past, you know, I would go good. As soon as I, you know, cool off a little bit, I will try a different thing, you know. And really good players, you know, they stay consistent with their things. Even though things are not going well, they just stay with the things that, you know, work for them. And I wasn't doing that, you know. I will hit a line drive, and then if it's out, I will try a different thing because I want to get a hit, you know? And things like that doesn't work in this game. So
yeah,
I came in with a different mindset this year.
Certainly chasing results has gotten the best of all of us at some point. But
yes,
Jason, you know, watching you this year and the little bit we got to see you last year, at least from the swing standpoint, it just seems like you're a little shorter, more compact. Was that something you set off in the out season to try to trim it up a little bit, or is that just a result of staying consistent, like you said?
No, just the result of staying consistent, you know. And I work a lot with Tatis' dad and Tatis himself, you know. We talk hitting all the time, you know, and we help each other every day.
Jerickson Profar, nice enough to join us here on our Friar Friday interview. Jerickson, I know you came to the team late last year. What are some of your thoughts on this year's team? Just the vibe. We're on the outside looking in, but we all kind of like the vibe of this year's team. Maybe just a little bit more than what we had last year. What differences are you seeing?
You know, just everybody together, you know, and not trying to do too much, you know, and we have a lot of confidence in each other, you know. Just, you know, if someone doesn't do the job, you know the guy behind you is going to cover you. He's going to help you. So you don't try to do too much yourself. You know, we have a very good lineup, a very good pitching staff. You can see, you know, a lot of games we were behind, we kept fighting, you know, and I think that's who we are. That's what we have in here. You know, we're never going to give up. We know we can do it.
Jerickson Profar joins us here on Friar Friday. Jerickson, last one from me. One of the new things that you guys, that we've heard, at least on the outside looking in, that that you guys have is this ball talk day. How helpful is it for you guys to have a segment of time where it's just ball talk?
It's great, man. It's great, man. We just talk about how we're going to win each and every day, you know, and you know, as a group, you know, we went out there and execute, you know. Everything we talked about, you know, we just go there and have fun. You know, we already talked about it, so it's easy to just go there out there and play, you know, and not worrying about other things because we already prepared.
Jerkson, thanks so much for the time. Real quick, why do you think you smile as much as you smile? What is it that gives you that
smile?
My mom
always asked me that.
Oh, yeah?
Since I was a little kid, one time I woke up and my mom asked me, why do you smile a lot? You know? She can't understand that.
it's certainly a quality I think all of us had, that we could just wake up
I wish
with
we
a
all
smile
could,
on our
right,
face.
Yeah.
Jerkson, continued success, man. It's been a lot of fun watching you do your thing this year. A lot of fun watching this team do its thing this year. Good luck tonight. Rest of the way. We'll catch up later.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jerkson. There he goes.
Jerkson Profar, yeah. Padres left fielder, off to a terrific start. And, you know, he's kind of like emblematic of who this team is, right? Like, it just seems like the energy that he has is a lot, the energy that this team has is a lot like the energy that Jerkson Profar has.
Yeah. I mean, not only does he smile all the time, Tony, but I think you see it because you're around him, but that smile rubs off on everybody else. He doesn't just have the ability to smile himself. He has the ability to get everyone else to feel good.
Yeah.
And that is a quality that many of us would be would love to have as much, you know, down pat as he has it, because it really is it's a great part of this team, and
yeah.
I think they missed him last year. You know, he didn't look right in the Colorado uniform, and when he got back, they started playing great, and you know, I think they were smart to bring him back again this year.
Yeah, ask Gavin Stone how much Jerkson Profar smiles. He certainly wasn't smiling back, and that's the thing I like about Jerkson is like when he steps like play a game, a switch flips because.
Yeah.
He, as he said, he's extremely competitive, and I think I like the mix that he brings.
I mean, you could see how competitive he is just by how Will Smith and that thing went down to it. Pitch inside, and he was ready to go.
He was ready to hit the red button for sure. All right, let's get to break. Great interview there with Jerkson Profar. We've got more Gwen and Chris coming your way after this break.
If we weren't in a good mood before, we are now, because we just visited with Jerkson Profar, and he always puts a smile on everyone's face. He did not disappoint today. Profar and the Padres get set to host the Toronto Blue Jays tonight at Petco Park. Tony and I are both a little, not that we don't want to be welcoming to the Blue Jays, but I think both Tony and I feel the same way about the Major League Baseball schedule now.
Yeah.
Incorporating a game against every team in baseball. It is nice to see Vladimir Guerrero and Bo Bichette come here every couple years. But beyond that, Toronto is, to me, just kind of a non-factor in what the Padres world is like. They're
absolutely.
You know, they're American League East. We're National League West. You know, I mean, when they played each other every 3 or 4 years, perfect. But I think, you know, with this notion that you got to play all these teams every year, I'd frankly rather have a, you know, series coming up with the Giants or Diamondbacks this weekend, Tony.
I agree, man. I was on the fence on Jesse and I were checking in with each other last year about how we were feeling about the schedule.
Right, because last year was the first year of the
It was the first year.
Yeah.
And I honestly didn't know. And I was trying, like, and the reason why I kept saying that, no, because I didn't want to be clouded by their early travel or the East Coast travel we had to do so much. So I wanted to wait until we kind of got into the year a little bit, because we went to the East Coast like a bunch of times, like early last year, it felt like. And so, and we had the trip to Mexico. So it was a lot going on there, like in the middle of the schedule or early in the schedule. And so I purposely waited. The season ended. I still didn't know how I felt about it. And then as we got started rolling through this year, I think it dawned on me that I don't really like it. I don't really like the, what do they call it? The balanced schedule is right. What they call it.
Yeah, they're calling it balanced, I guess, because you play everybody once.
Right. But I don't personally, I like to see Vlad. I love watching Bo Bichette. I like seeing some of these teams that, you know, come through. But I don't need to see them every year. Like, I'm already not looking forward to going to Toronto and going through customs and doing that next year. Before, that would have been like every sixth year I would have had to worry about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just, as you said, I like playing the division more. And, you know, this is why you be careful what you wish for. Because the one thing I was excited about is not having to go to Colorado an extra time, couple times, not having to go to Arizona. But I actually, at the end of the day, both of those places are closer, and you actually have impact on your actual schedule. Think about this. The Padres ended up, I think, losing the series to the Diamondbacks last year.
Okay.
By one game. They finished behind the Diamondbacks by one game. Had they finished tied last year, the Diamondbacks would have moved on. And, you know, the Padres didn't have the luxury of having those extra games against a division foe.
The team
and
they needed to beat, sure.
And so, you know, we'll look at some of these early matches. Like, again, the Padres won't play the Giants until September. You're gonna look at some of these matchups, and the importance now of winning these division games goes up a little bit because you're not facing them as much. I just, you know, I think I like the other way. I don't necessarily think it's changing. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon, if at all. But I definitely like the other way better.
Yeah, Dodgers are here May 10th, 11th, and 12th. And then we won't see them until the very end of the season either. And these are the teams you're trying to beat to win your division. And I also think familiarity with an opponent is something that is very big for fans. I think fans, you either built up a dislike or a respect or a this, that, and the other with the Giants, certainly with the Dodgers. But I think even now with the Diamondbacks and the Rockies and the Giants, we've seen them so much. We know those teams. We know the players. We know that Charlie Blackmon is going to torture us, right, when he comes to – like, it's already in our mind. Toronto comes here. What are we going to think? We don't know anything about Toronto, Harvey.
Right. The thing is, they could come. We could see them every year. We're still not going to think about them because you're seeing them one time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it hurts. It further hurts the All-Star game because I was talking about – I think I was actually having this conversation with AJ Preller the other day. Like, the one intrigue that used – the thing that used to make the All-Star game fascinating was that you never saw these guys go up against each other. And so when you got a – let's say a Roger Clemens facing a Tony Gwynn, something that you really – never got to see, it was kind of like, I want to see this. That's must-see TV matchup right there.
Yeah.
You don't get that anymore because the kind of suspense or kind of idea of finally seeing that matchup has already happened every year, or it has already happened during that season. So, I don't know. I think, and also the other thing that you spoke on, I think it hurts the kind of fan vitriol towards other divisional teams. Like, the Dodger-Padres series was bubbling up in part because they saw each other so much. Now, I mean, that was a great series. We won't see them again until next month. After that, we won't even be talking about the Dodgers, really, until we get to September. And yeah. I don't think that's good for the game, personally.
I agree with you 100%. Tony, but we got the Blue Jays this weekend, and as I think Annie pointed out on our roundtable yesterday, it doesn't really matter who the Padres are playing. They just got to do their thing and, you know, take two out of three, keep winning these series, and keep motoring along here. Game one tonight on 97.3 The Fan. All right, also tonight, Tony, the NBA elimination games. Want to get your thoughts. Bulls got some good news. Caruso looks like he will play tonight.
Oh, good.
For the Bulls. Obviously, we know Jimmy Butler is out. Winner moves on to face the Celtics. Now, Miami was in this exact position last year. They not only beat the Bulls, they went on all the way to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, they did.
But I can't see that happening without Jimmy Butler. Can you? He's the heart of that team.
He is. And each that is the common denominator in all of the Miami Heat runs since the Big Three left is a dude named Jimmy Butler that has, like, wheeled his team to a final a couple different times. And so, yeah, no, I don't give them much of a chance in this game because of that. I mean, losing him is – that was tough. That's a backbreaker is what that is.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. The other game tonight, the New Orleans Pelicans will be without Zion Williamson, and they're going to try to beat Sacramento. I think Sacramento's a really good team to begin with.
Yeah.
And, again, Williamson is not the whole team in New Orleans. They've got some other players, but most everything runs through him. I don't see how that works for the Pelicans tonight. I think Sacramento moves on.
Yeah, my guy had 40 against the Lakers. You're going to miss 40. Like it wasn't like he had like 20 or 22. He had 40 points. You're going to miss all of that against this Kings team that just dismantled Golden State. Like, got them up out of here.
They did.
And so it doesn't look good right now for either team that's missing their best player.
Tomorrow the Lakers open up with Denver. Game one, I believe it's a 5 o'clock tomorrow, Tony, which means Tony Gwynn Jr. will be doing his best broadcasting while looking over his shoulder at the television, and nobody does it better, I must say.
I will be juggling two different games.
You will. And Nuggets swept the Lakers last year in the playoffs, and then, if I'm not mistaken, swept them in the regular season this year.
You're not. You're definitely
so the Lakers are dealing with that, but LeBron James said exactly what he should say, and that is you guys are putting way too much emphasis on all that because it's not going to come down to what happened last year or this regular season. It's going to come down to what happens in the next seven games, and like I've said, I'm picking the Lakers, and that's coming from really a not all-time Laker fan. I think I just think that they're playing too well right now, the Lakers, and getting the kid back from Miami, who they picked up, the free agent, and I'm totally blanking his name. He was the starting point guard for Miami last year.
Yeah.
Back for the Lakers.
Dave, what's my man who was the Miami Heat guard that we got?
Come on,
that
Dave.
He just got healthy.
Yeah, save us, Dave.
Vincent.
Gabe Vincent. Yes,
Gabe
thank
Vincent.
You. Right.
Thank you, Dave.
He didn't play at all this year, but he's back. I think Russell's playing well, and I know Reeves is playing well. I think the Lakers are going to be very motivated here, and they're going to remember the feeling they had last year. And, you give LeBron James a little extra motivation. I think Denver better be ready. That's all I'll say.
I think you're right. I think the one thing for sure that the Lakers that I have to remember is that, especially in the games during the regular season, those games were all close, with the exception, I think, of one. And it came down to, like, the last literally minute and a half where the Lakers didn't execute, and they got beat because of it every time. And so I'm hoping that they can finally – that the difference is that they execute when it matters here. And they pull up the upset, man. The Lakers might have to be the team to beat at that point.
Sky's the limit if they beat Denver, because that's the favorite in the West. Now, the other team in L.A., the Clippers. Here we go into the postseason, and as usual, the Clippers are not really concerned about playing the Dallas Mavericks. They're more concerned with getting our guy, Kawhi Leonard, healthy. And he still apparently has inflammation in his surgically repaired right knee. Status is questionable for game one. The question that you get is, do you play with a little inflammation in your knee in game one and then wipe yourself out for the rest of the playoffs because it gets worse? Or do you sit him? And the Clippers are, doing everything they can. They're Lawrence Frank is their president of baseball operations. He's tired basketball. Of hearing about people basketball. He's tired of hearing about people saying Kawhi's this, Kawhi's that. Kawhi Leonard's doing everything he can to play.
Yeah.
And yeah. I believe in that 100%. This guy's a gamer. I don't understand why people criticize him. When you've got an injured knee and you are in a situation where it could get worse if you play, it's smart not to play. But, man, are the Clippers a lot better if he can get in there.
First, I think Kawhi has been lumped in to, you know, the whole load managing thing. And his is not load managed. He was actually injured. He load managed the 1 year in Toronto when he was coming off of the, I think it was a quad surgery that.
If we weren't in a good mood before, we are now, because we just visited with Jerks and Profar, and he always puts a smile on everyone's face. He did not disappoint today. Profar and the Padres get set to host the Toronto Blue Jays tonight at Petco Park. Tony and I are both a little, not that we don't want to be welcoming to the Blue Jays, but I think both Tony and I feel the same way about the Major League Baseball schedule now.
Yeah.
Incorporating a game against every team in baseball. It is nice to see Vladimir Guerrero and Bo Bichette come here every couple years. But beyond that, Toronto is, to me, just kind of a non-factor in what the Padres world is like. They're
absolutely.
You know, they're American League East. We're National League West. You know, I mean, when they played each other every 3 or 4 years, perfect. But I think, you know, with this notion that you got to play all these teams every year, I'd frankly rather have a, you know, series coming up with the Giants or Diamondbacks this weekend, Tony.
I agree, man. I was on the fence on Jesse and I were checking in with each other last year about how we were feeling about the schedule.
Right, because last year was the first year of the.
It was the first year.
Yeah.
And I honestly didn't know. And I was trying, like, and the reason why I kept saying I didn't know, because I didn't want to be clouded by their early travel or the East Coast travel we had to do so much. So I wanted to wait until we kind of got into the year a little bit, because we went to the East Coast like a bunch of times, like early last year, it felt like. And so, and we had the trip to Mexico. So it was a lot going on there, like in the middle of the schedule or early in the schedule. And so I purposely waited. The season ended. I still didn't know how I felt about it. And then as we got started rolling through this year, I think it dawned on me that I don't really like it. I don't really like the, what do they call it? It's the balanced schedule is
right.
What they call it.
Yeah, they're calling it balanced, I guess, because you play everybody once.
Right. I don't personally, I like to see Vlad. I love watching Bo Bichette. I like seeing some of these teams that, you know, come through. But I don't need to see them every year. Like, I'm already not looking forward to going to Toronto and going through customs and doing that next year. Before, that would have been like every sixth year I would have had to worry about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just, as you said, I like playing the division more. And, you know, this is why you be careful what you wish for. Because the one thing I was excited about is not having to go to Colorado an extra time, couple times, not having to go to Arizona. But I actually, at the end of the day, both of those places are closer, and you actually have impact on your actual schedule. Think about this. The Padres ended up, I think, losing the series to the Diamondbacks last year.
Okay.
By one game. They finished behind the Diamondbacks by one game. Had they finished tied last year, the Diamondbacks would have moved on. And, you know, the Padres didn't have the luxury of having those extra games against a division foe.
The team
and
they needed to beat, sure.
And so, you know, we'll look at some of these early matches. Like, again, the Padres won't play the Giants until September. You're gonna look at some of these matchups, and the importance now of winning these division games goes up a little bit because you're not facing them as much. I just, you know, I think I like the other. I don't necessarily think it's changing. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon, if at all. But I definitely like the other way better.
Yeah, Dodgers are here May 10th, 11th, and 12th, and then we won't see them until the very end of the season either. And
These
are the teams you're trying to beat to win your division. And I also think familiarity
yes.
with an opponent is something that is very big for fans. I think fans, you either built up a dislike or a respect or a this, that, and the other with the Giants, certainly with the Dodgers, but I think even now with the Diamondbacks and the Rockies and the Giants, we've seen them so much. We know those teams. We know the players. We know that Charlie Blackmon is going to torture us, right, when he comes to, like, it's already in our mind. Toronto comes here. What are we going to think? We don't know anything about Toronto, Hardy.
Right. The thing is, they could come. We could see them every year. We're still not going to think about them because you're seeing them one time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it hurts. It further hurts the All-Star game because I was talking about, I think I was actually having this conversation with AJ Preller the other day. Like the one intrigue that used to, the thing that used to make the All-Star game fascinating was that you never saw these guys go up against each other. And so when you got a, let's say a Roger Clemens facing a Tony Gwynn, something that you really never got to see, it was kind of like, I want to see this. That's must-see TV matchup right there.
Yeah.
You don't get that anymore because the kind of suspense or kind of idea of finally seeing that matchup has already happened every year, or it has already happened during that season. So, I don't know. I think, and also the other thing that you spoke on, I think it hurts the kind of fan vitriol towards other divisional teams. Like the Dodger Padres series was bubbling up in part because they saw each other so much. Now, I mean, that was a great series. We won't see them again until next month. After that, we won't even be talking about the Dodgers really until we get to September. And I don't think that's good for the game personally.
I agree with you 100%. Tony, but we got the Blue Jays this weekend, and as I think Annie pointed out on our roundtable yesterday, it doesn't really matter who the Padres are playing. They just got to do their thing and, you know, take two out of three, keep winning these series, and keep motoring along here. Game one tonight on 97.3 The Fan. All right, also tonight, Tony, the NBA elimination games. Want to get your thoughts. Bulls got some good news. Caruso looks like he will play tonight.
Oh, good.
For the Bulls. Obviously, we know Jimmy Butler is out. Winner moves on to face the Celtics. Now, Miami was in this exact position last year. They not only beat the Bulls, they went on all the way to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, they did.
But I can't see that happening without Jimmy Butler. Can you? He's the heart of that team.
He is. And each that is the common denominator in all of the Miami Heat runs since the Big Three left is a dude named Jimmy Butler that has like wheeled his team to a final a couple different times. And so, yeah, no, I don't give them much of a chance in this game because of that. I mean, losing him is that was tough. That's a backbreaker is what that is.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. The other game tonight, the New Orleans Pelicans will be without Zion Williamson, and they're going to try to beat Sacramento. I think Sacramento's a really good team to begin with.
Yeah.
And again, Williamson is not the whole team in New Orleans. They've got some other players, but most everything runs through him. I don't see how that works for the Pelicans tonight. I think Sacramento moves on.
Man, my guy had 40 against the Lakers. You're going to miss 40. Like it wasn't like he had like 20 or 22. He had 40 points. You're going to miss all of that against this Kings team that just dismantled Golden State. Like got them up out of here.
They did.
And so it doesn't look good right now for either team that's missing their best player.
Tomorrow the Lakers open up with Denver. Game one, I believe it's a 5 o'clock tomorrow, Tony, which means Tony Gwynn Jr. will be doing his best broadcasting while looking over his shoulder at the television, and nobody does it better, I must say.
I will be juggling two different games.
You will. And Nuggets swept the Lakers last year in the playoffs, and then, if I'm not mistaken, swept them in the regular season this year.
You're not. You're definitely
so the Lakers are dealing with that, but LeBron James said exactly what he should say, and that is you guys are putting way too much emphasis on all that because it's not going to come down to what happened last year or this regular season. It's going to come down to what happens in the next seven games, and like I've said, I'm picking the Lakers, and that's coming from a really a not all-time Laker fan. I think I just think that they're playing too well right now, the Lakers, and getting the kid back from Miami, who they picked up, the free agent, and I'm totally blanking his name. He was the starting point guard for Miami last year.
Yeah.
Back for the Lakers.
Dave, what's my man who was the Miami Heat guard that we got?
Come on,
actually.
Dave.
He just got healthy.
Yeah, save us, Dave.
Vincent.
Gabe Vincent. Right.
Thank you, Dave.
He didn't play at all this year, but he's back. I think Russell's playing well, and I know
they're
Reese is playing well. I think the Lakers are going to be very motivated here, and they're going to remember the feeling they had last year. And, you know, you give LeBron James a little extra motivation, I think Denver better be ready. That's all I'll say.
I think you're right. I think the one thing for sure that the Lakers that I have to remember is that, especially in the games during the regular season, those games were all close, with the exception, I think, of one. And it came down to, like, the last literally minute and a half where the Lakers didn't execute, and they got beat because of it every time. And so I'm hoping that they can finally – that the difference is that they execute when it matters here. And they pull up the upset, man. The Lakers might have to be the team to beat at that point.
Sky's the limit if they beat Denver, because that's the favorite in the West. Now, the other team in L.A., the Clippers. Here we go into the postseason, and as usual, the Clippers are not really concerned about playing the Dallas Mavericks. They're more concerned with getting our guy, Kawhi Leonard, healthy. And yeah, he still apparently has inflammation in his surgically repaired right knee. Status is questionable for game one. The question that you get is, do you play with a little inflammation in your knee in game one and then wipe yourself out for the rest of the playoffs because it gets worse? Or do you sit him? And the Clippers are, you know, doing everything they can. You know, Lawrence Frank is their president of baseball operations. He's tired of hearing about people, basketball. He's tired of hearing about people saying Kawhi's this, Kawhi's that. Kawhi Leonard's doing everything he can to play.
Yeah.
And I believe in that 100%. This guy's a gamer. I don't understand why people criticize him. When you've got an injured knee and you are in a situation where it could get worse if you play, it's smart not to play. But, man, are the Clippers a lot better if he can get in there?
First, I think Kawhi has been lumped in to, you know, the whole load managing thing. And his is not load managed. He was actually injured. He load managed the 1 year in Toronto when he was coming off of the, I think it was a quad surgery that he had to have repaired. And they load man. After that, he's missed time because he's actually been hurt, like torn knee. I think he had an ACL once.
He did.
He had the. Now we're talking about this inflammation. So I think he's been unfairly lumped into that. And I think, listen, I'm guilty of lumping him in to that at times. But I have no doubt that he's doing his best to get back. I think outside of the Lakers-Denver series, this could be probably the most compelling series to watch because these two teams are matched up, regardless of whether Kawhi is playing or not. Clippers still got to have a pretty good team. Now, Dallas has got a possible MVP and Kyrie Irving, who is playing some fantastic basketball. They didn't think these two could play together. They probably are playing the best basketball of anybody in the Western Conference going into the playoffs. So I think this is going to be a great series.
That one gets underway on Sunday, and the rest of the NBA playoffs start this weekend after the elimination games that are coming up tonight. You know, just one thing on Kawhi Leonard, how anybody anywhere near here could ever be critical of Kawhi Leonard is beyond me. The guy basically single-handedly, and I know that, you know, Steve Fisher and Brian Dutcher and all those players that have played all these years had a lot to do with what we got now at San Diego State. Yeah. But it doesn't start without Kawhi Leonard. You've got to have that one superstar come in through your program and set the stage for everyone. And I know I'll forever be grateful to the guy. So I think people should keep it down on their criticism of Kawhi. People like, you know, our own Matt Scraby, who doesn't like anybody to ever miss a game.
Well, you know, you have a stiff back and you go home. Come on, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, he's all mad.
The only place in the world.
Who had a stiff back and went home?
Kawhi.
He left after, like, the first quarter and then went home.
Scraby, is your back ever locked up on you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you play basketball with a locked up back?
No, but okay. I also don't go home from work when I'm feeling, you know, injured.
Oh, please. You left. You went home. You didn't come to work because of sniffles a couple times.
Oh, is that right? I'm like, I'm the one out of the three of us who probably has logged the most days on Gwen and Chris.
So you're telling on yourself because weren't you just being critical of Chris Ello not that long ago for being in there with sniffles?
Yes, I was being critical.
So Kawhi can't go home with a stiff back, but you want Chris Ello to leave the building because he's got sniffles. Please explain yourself.
This is pretty simple. I mean, you can get sick if someone has sniffles. No one can give you a bad back, so it's not contagious.
But he can't do anything.
He can't cheer on his teammates from the locker room?
He can't. You think sitting in those tiny little seats over there is going to be good for his back, is what you're telling
me? No, I'm saying in the locker room. He just straight up went home.
You don't know that.
It was reported that he left the arena and went home, right, Chris?
It was, and it was a really sad day because Scraby, I knew, was not only going to be critical of Kawhi that day, but he's going to remember this for the rest of his natural life.
As he always does.
And I'm sure you will. All right, Padres got the Blue Jays tonight. We've got Yariel Rodriguez pitching for Toronto. Talk about somebody I know nothing about, a right-hander. We talked about Matt Waldron pitching for the Padres. Still no lineup out. We did have Mike Schilt giving the morning guys an update on Jake Cronenworth on the morning show today. Thought we could pass that along because I know everybody is interested about when Jake will return.
So
go ahead, Tony.
I was going to say, I saw Jake out here doing some sprint work. Doing some build-ups. I don't know if they were sprint work just yet, but he certainly was getting out there. He had the training staff watching him, so I assume that means he's trying to progress towards getting back in that lineup.
Let's hear what Mike Schilt had to say about him.
I would expect him to be back in the lineup. He's going to come in today. He had a good day yesterday again. Matty Batten filled in very admirably. He made a nice play, hit the triple. Cronies, gosh, I mean, clearly stating the captain, obvious how valuable he's been, not only our lineup, our club, our defense, the whole shooting match. How he runs the base is just his presence and how he competes. But, I expect to be back in at some point during this series. And, you know, we'll evaluate here in a couple hours, see how he's feeling relative to when that'll look like.
That is probably why the lineup is not out at this point, is because they possibly could be waiting to see how his body responds to the work he did earlier and if they want to put him in there.
I think you're right, Dr. Gwynn. Very good. Some of the other things going on in baseball today, Blake Snell will be on the hill tonight up in San Francisco. See if Blake can get rolling. Jordan Montgomery makes his Diamondbacks debut in that game, so that'll be interesting. Sean Manaea, former Padre, will pitch in L.A. tonight against Yoshinobu Yamamoto and the Dodgers. Dodgers begin play one game ahead of the Padres in the National League West. Also, Justin Verlander is returning to the mound tonight for the Houston Astros.
I was watching some MLB Network, and they were showing Justin Verlander in his rehab starts. Can you imagine you're a minor leaguer and Justin Verlander's the guy you draw that day, and he's just carving everyone up? That would be...
Did that happen to you a few times?
It's happened to me a few times, and trust me, don't feel bad for them young dudes. They out there like, they trying to eat. They trying to get them.
This is how they can show what they got.
Yeah, 100%.
You take Justin Verlander deep, somebody's going to at least raise an eyebrow.
Somebody is going to have something to say. So don't feel sorry for those dudes. They are looking forward to a Justin Verlander matchup because many of them probably think, he's washed. I can get him. So, I mean, they may very well find out the real deal depending on, you know, what Justin is trying to accomplish there. Don't feel bad for him. That's a great opportunity.
Yeah, I always felt that's kind of a no-win for Justin Verlander. I mean, he's not there to have success, but as a pitcher, I don't know how Justin Verlander thinks, but I never like giving up a run to anybody at any time. You know, it wasn't in my DNA, so I know he's supposed to work on stuff, but if double-A guys are batting me all over the yard, I wouldn't be happy.
Scraby, you got your hand up.
Yes, Jeff Sanders of the San Diego Union-Tribune has tweeted, Randy Vasquez
is in the building.
Is in San Diego.
He's in the building. All right, so we are...
It don't mean we need to report it. It just means that he's in the building. But
he's
it's
in
likely,
the building. More
is he
likely.
Just taking in the game
Can I applaud us real quick? This is probably the best hour we've ever done in getting off on time.
Yeah, that's
every
true.
Segment, yeah, yeah, every yeah. segment we've gotten off on time. So yeah. kudos to everybody.
Well, wait a second, I have something to add.
Oh, gosh.
No, I don't.
I was going to say.
We're off on time, and we're going to stay on time, and we're going to hit a daily gambit to kick off the 3 o'clock hour. Stick around. Gwen and Chris, happy Friar Friday, everyone.